Welcome to Formation. Kara and I are here to close out these conversations about Advent, carols and hymns, and the messages. And I'm excited to hear what you've got for us today. Our friend Shannon isn't with us, but we will carry on. And I hope these conversations we've had will encourage you to get on whatever music source you have and listen to the way these songs have been recorded over the years, classic, new versions. And listen to your favorite artist to see if they have recorded it. What song do you have for us today?
I have It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Sometimes it came upon a midnight clear.
But we all know it was a very singular midnight.
A very particular midnight. And I didn't know a whole lot about the song, but it's just always been one that I have appreciated and liked. And
it's good storytelling.
It's good storytelling. And interestingly, it is the only kind of carol, Advent, Christmas song that doesn't actually talk about the birth of Jesus. And it is considered maybe potentially one of the first kind of social gospel type hymns. And so when we look at it.
When was it written?
It was written in 1849 by a person named Edmund H. Sears, who was a Unitarian minister. He went to Harvard Divinity School, and America was just coming out of the Mexican-American War, which had lots of implications that were leading into the Civil War. And so there was just lots of strife, and this was just, it was building. And so Sears wrote a 5-stanza poem that eventually was put to music. And it really, when you listen to it and hear it from that perspective, it kind of changes and I think really speaks to us today in terms of maybe where we are and where we can find those angels that still sing on high. And so the scripture that this actually comes from is from Luke chapter 2, and is, if you want to read that, then that might help us lead into talking about some of the verses.
I'll start reading with verse 8, chapter 2. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
Yeah, and so this carol goes back to that constant refrain of the angels that are reaching down to earth, and in this kind of almost separated, at one point it's one of the lines is, "Still through the cloven skies they come," like this very, very severed in some way place between the heavens and the earth, where we're still looking for peace and hope. And I don't know, it's just a beautiful song.
Let's listen to just a little bit of it for people who haven't heard it in a while, maybe.
It's a beautiful, gorgeous,
very
simple
classic song.
I do remember that as a child, when we would go like Christmas caroling with large groups, this would always be a song that people wanted to sing, but nobody really actually knew the words. Is it one that you know?
Well,
the words
no,
too well?
And because it's poetry, I think that's why we can't. It's a higher form of storytelling in a way, isn't it? The language
Absolutely.
Is a little older and kind of like if you remembered a Dickens song, right. You know. It's just hard. The words are hard, and I love, but we love the storytelling. Right. And I think because of our family service, mm-hmm. I'm reminded of all of the angels coming down the aisle at right. that one point in the service. And there, the smallest ones are also a bit overwhelmed with what's going on.
Right.
I just wonder how that was. I love the juxtaposition of the glory of the angels and the very simple shepherds.
Right.
It makes for some really mm-hmm. beautiful paintings.
Right. Well, and just this notion that those angels are still there, I think for me is
yes.
what has touched me.
Timeless, yes.
In looking at this.
We need some angels this
year.
We
need some angels this year. And we need those angels to continue to be present. And I think that that's what this particular hymn talks about, you know, in the third stanza, and yo, beneath life's crushing load. Like, that's, we feel that. We feel that, the heaviness, the weight of time now, and what we're looking to and what is coming up, and the same thing that Sears was looking at as he wrote this poem.
I'm so glad to know how it came to be written.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that story before. And you can hear what's on his heart
right.
in the words that he put down on paper.
Right. And just as a minister, Sears was very much a pacifist and really became, you know, when you read more about him, became very overwhelmed with just the difficulties of being in a place of trying to be a pacifist and trying to be a minister, and eventually finding his way to kind of a small little town in Massachusetts where he was able to serve. And it says that most of his sermons were considered to be more like prayers. And so I think when we look at this particular writing,
it does feel that way, doesn't it?
You could think of it as being a prayerful statement about where we are and where we would hope to be, but always knowing that those angels are still reaching down, they're still present. And when we listen intently, we can hear those angels still singing.
Well
said. Beautiful.
Well said.
Yeah. So we'll take a break and we will come back with another Christmas song.
The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God's doing in the world. We invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11. Simple worship in the chapel at 9:30. Visit our 1010 service in Walker Hall. We're a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize that we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on the faith journey. We seek to practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Explore our programs and upcoming events at www.universitychristian.org. Don't forget to stay connected with us on social media.
We're back, and I have another carol with a story that goes mm-hmm. with it. On page 161 in our hymnal is a carol, I Wonder as I Wander. And I have loved the melody of this, kind of, it's very different. It's not like, don't you think? Not like
Absolutely.
Any other Christmas carol. Has kind of a haunting melody mm-hmm. and is connected. It's part of a traditional Appalachian Christmas carol. So listen to just a minute of it and see what you think.
I wonder as I wander out under the sky at Jesus, my Savior did come for to die.
So if that sounds familiar to you, if you have perhaps sung it in a worship service. It was created, composed in the 30s, and it's an interesting combination of a composer visiting Appalachia, where a small girl stood and sang a tiny piece of what is now the carol. This is the way in his diary he wrote about that experience. His name, by the way, is John Jacob Niles. and he was a specialist in American folklore, and that's what took him to Appalachia to begin with. A girl had stepped out to the edge of a little platform attached to the automobile. This was, of course, during the Depression. There was a fundraising event outside, and he had stopped for the event and sees this little girl come out. Her clothes were unbelievably ragged. She was not washed. Her ash blonde hair hung down in long strings, but best of all, she was beautiful. And in her untutored way, she could sing. She smiled as she sang, smiled rather sadly, and sang only a single line of the song. But she sang that line over and over again. And he remembers leaving that with that melody, leaving that meeting with that melody and her voice in his mind and in his heart. And he went back and composed the carol around what he heard her sing, which is really amazing. And I think, so the words as well as the melody came from him. And I think it's got some interesting verses. Read a couple of those.
Absolutely. Starting on verse 3. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, because he was the king. I wonder as I wander out under the sky how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor ordinary people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
So you, yeah. I think he kept the setting of how he heard the tune. Mm-hmm. It's in the song itself.
Right.
You can tell ordinary people and the beauty. And also, I think it's a carol about incarnation, which is such a mysterious thing. I can't remember how old I was before I decided that I couldn't understand it and I would just let it be a mystery. I couldn't explain it, although ministers are asked, can you explain incarnation to me? But I think this beautiful, haunting melody that speaks of the beginning and the end of Jesus' earthly existence.
Right.
The king comes, but he comes to die for us.
Right.
So it's got the cross as well as the manger.
Right. It composes all of it. And also knowing the history that a young child is what spurred this, and just this idea of wonder and imagining, and that is just nested beautifully in this.
It's just perfect.
Right, and that we continue to do that.
Yes.
We continue to wonder as we wander through this journey of what it is to understand, you know, this divine.
Something that's not explainable.
It's not explained. And that is the wondering and the faith and the beauty that is part of this, and Niles absolutely captures that, but that it comes from this small child. I don't know. I would certainly will hang on that now.
Yes. I love the story. I've always been attracted, and I'm glad that we did these Advent conversations so that we traced the origins of some special songs that we love. And I would imagine you were thinking about the songs that you love. We'd always like to hear from you. Formation at uccftw.com.
Yes. That'll work.
So one of those things I say so much, I forgot what it was. We'd love to hear about your favorite song, but also to encourage you to carve out some space in this very busy season to put a piece of music on and let that lead to some reflection. One of my favorite moments for music is in the 30 years of ordained ministry that I've had. During those times when I've been the senior minister, lots of times, smaller churches, I'd be the last person out on Christmas Eve. Have you ever been the last person out?
The last person.
But no. I guess pretty
not
close
the
to the
person.
Last.
Right.
So I would get in the car, and then my Christmas Eve worship would happen in the car by myself. And normally I could find on the radio the lessons and carols that was happening in London.
Wow.
You know, some great, probably on NPR concert. and I would listen, and I would be all alone, and the doors had been locked and the candles blown out at the church, and it was just so holy. I bet you've also had, after the church hubbub,
it is that ride,
the silence.
Yes, that drive home, because there is this very tiny space between all of that ending, and it's been beautiful and fun and exciting, but it's a lot.
Yes.
And then getting in that car, and that drive home of that peaceful silence, listening to carols, and before the very next part of what Christmas is with family begins.
Yeah, and for both of us, I'm sure, for me, it's walking through the back door of my house and having all the company who've been home for a while, because I had to wait and lock the doors at the church, all the company saying, "We're hungry."
Right.
That was the end of Christmas Eve.
Right, absolutely. But there is that small,
there's a little very, moment,
very
of
small
peace.
Slice of peace. And so
and now we've got the the bells ringing.
That's right.
So
it's
perfect. That's kind of perfect timing. We hope you have a very merry Christmas, and that some quiet, holy time is a part of it. And we'll look forward to a new conversation for a new year.